scores! And the Ballers win! Helena is no longer undefeated!
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
You're smoking crack!
Got a few things to talk about on the show today. It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report, coming to you live on 12 Ounce Sports. What's going on? Olympic hockey. The women's quarterfinals get underway in a couple of days. The men's hockey tournament's underway. Brad Marchand is pure entertainment in the NHL. He's pissed off the entire league. The Oilers get smacked by Vegas. Now they got to play Marc-Andre Fleury tonight. Yeah, there's no shortage of things to talk about. It's Cody Jansen coming to you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios today. Yes, that's right, in Alberta, the beautiful province in Canada. Join the conversation anytime on 12 Ounce Sports. If you're watching, go to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch. Join the conversation right now. I want to know. And I mean, hey, you can get questions in. You can ask. But I'm curious, how many games do you think Brad Marchand should get? And if you think he should get suspended, well, then you might as well chime in on the other one, where Foligno's dropping flying knees in the Winnipeg-Minnesota game. I mean, it's a brawl, it's an exciting game, and then you've got some dangerous plays that really skew everything. So I'm curious. Give me your thoughts. What do you think Brad Marchand should get? Let us know. We're on Twitter, at WorldHockeyRPT. I'm there personally, at Janner31 underscore, and coming up today on the show. In about 40, 35 minutes time, AJ Galante, everyone knows him from the Danbury Trashers, but man, this guy does not sleep. He's getting it going with Ice Wars. And if you remember, there was a hockey enforcer tournament in Prince George. This was back, let's say, mid-2000s. Well, he's kind of bringing that back, and I want to talk to him about it. So we hooked up with him. He's going to come on the show here in about 35 minutes, talk about that, and whatever else he's been up to as well. Great guy. AJ's coming up here at 1240 on World Hockey Report. And then Kara Morey, one of the, you know, I'll say it, she's the best college hockey coach right now in the women's game. At Princeton University, she's, you know, developing players like Sarah Filliet on Team Canada. Thompson was there. I mean, Newell on the Chinese national team, their goaltender was there. There's a lot of talent coming out of Princeton. And again, your head coach is the one that drives that. She was a college hockey and professional hockey player herself. And why I say she's the best, and maybe she won't admit to it, maybe we'll have to dive in. It's a lot tougher to recruit players to Princeton, an Ivy League school, compared to going to Wisconsin, where it's not even a run at people's grades at Wisconsin. It's a little bit easier to recruit them there. You got good facilities. You've got an easy school to get into, a pretty fun party life. It's a little bit different when you're recruiting someone to a Minnesota or Wisconsin versus an Ivy League school where you got to be smart, you got to be disciplined, you got to be mature to balance all that workload. And I mean, Kara's pumping out the best product right now. That's why she's got three Olympians. She's coached in the biggest stage, and Sarah Filliet's been nothing short of phenomenal. So we're going to dive into that. I'm curious, you know, from her perspective, what sets Sarah apart? What do they got in the water at Princeton? We'll talk with Kara Morey about that in about 15 minutes time, but a lot to get to NHL-wise. And again, join the conversation, 12 Ounce Sports, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you are watching from today. Brad Marchand. Now, let's rewind it back. The Bruins, they go up 2-0, they lose 4-2 to Pittsburgh. He was in the middle of all this action throughout the game. Whether it's Jarry trying to throw a puck over the glass, Marchand comes, knocks it off his stick, steals it, chucks it to the ref, whatever. A lot of people were up in arms about that. I thought that was funny. And then Crosby trying to get to the bench with a broken, or after he breaks his stick, Marchand's in the way. You know, people, oh, this interference, all the NHL's got to do a better job calling it. Shut up. At the end, and Jack Edwards kind of called it out. Jarry swinging his stick around a little bit, getting a little bit heated in there. Caught someone with a little gut check with the panel. Again, it's a goalie stick. They're bigger, they're harder, they're heavier. You probably shouldn't be swinging it around like that. Does it deserve a sucker punch and a little jab in the jaw? Probably not. But again, for the people that are saying a 15-game suspension for Brad Marchand, give your head a shake. I mean, Midas touch soft. This has been incredible. Just the pouring of Christ. The waterworks going. It's hockey. Was it a dirty play by Brad Marchand? You're damn right it is. He sucker punched a goalie. But why did Pittsburgh not react then if they thought it was warranted of a couple fisticuffs? You tell me. Let me know again. Conversation floor is yours. Join the conversation. If you want to defend Tristan Jarry here more than Brad Marchand or vice versa, I would love to hear it. Because, yeah, the punch was over the line. It's a 5-minute major in a game, likely. The stick to the chin, maybe that's, I don't even know. I mean, if that happens in a normal game, is maybe a double minor. Maybe it's a roughing, high sticking, whatever. It's a cheap shot. It's not a play you want to see in the game. But to give him a one-game suspension for that even, that's not much. It's one game. But it's interesting, the overreaction here. Like, we're not talking about someone getting run from behind and having their season ended. We're not talking about Aaron Dell putting Drake Batherson in the box suite for 2 months here. We're talking about a punch to the dome and a little jab in the jaw. No one died. Bryce Buns jumps in here on the conversation, says no suspension. Fine him for sure, but no suspension. I would agree with that if the fines were higher, Bryce. And I want to know your thoughts as well. So if they up the fines up to, say, $100,000, I think that's a lot, and that's a ton of money. That's a, you know, wild load of money. But that stops them from doing it. A couple of games, a few games. I don't know. I mean, that's the same antics. It's just a break for him. You know, he can go on a little vacation now instead. But the fines in the NHL right now, I'd assume the max is probably $5,000 that you can get for it. And I mean, cry me a river about the whole repeat offender. It's a totally different situation. If it's a repeat offender where he had been sucker punching goalies before and giving them one-arm jabs in the helmet, and you can't tell me that Tristan Jarry doesn't sell it either. I mean, go back and watch it. He flops down on the punch and he snaps his head back, gives me the whack when he gets sticked in the jaw. Like it hit his throat protector. He's got a dangler down there. Any goalie knows that didn't hit him in the skin. It turns his head. I'm not justifying that shouldn't be a penalty or that shouldn't be a fine. I'm just saying maybe we take a deep breath before we try and kick Brad Marchand out of the league. It's as simple as that. And if I'm wrong, well, I guess you can let me know. Moving along, though, the Foligno knee, that's an interesting one where, I mean, it's just a gross play. Like, it's a fight. You can't be kneeing on. I believe it was Lowry who was on the bottom of it, too. Like, it was a great game. You know, you get the fights, you get the excitement, the physical play, and then something like that. Honestly, that's worse than what Brad Marchand did. I'm sorry. A guy's laying on the ice after a fight. I believe his bucket was off, and you're going to knee on his head? That's worse than what Brad Marchand did. I don't think I'm wrong. That's a 100% correct take. I mean, innocent until proven guilty. I don't even know what the terminology we should be using that one. But Brad Marchand, I think a game is fair for him. I think a hefty fine is fair for him to say, hey, cut that out. We don't need that shit in the league anymore. But also, I want to see that in the league. I want to see that hatred on a nightly basis. I don't want to see hockey without that. I want to see players getting pissed off at each other. I want to see them throwing punches. I want to see them getting mad, sending a message for later on in the season. That's hockey. That's what I love about the game. Don't take it away just because, I mean, Jari's throwing swords around here. Can we talk about the Oilers for a quick second before we get to the Olympics? They go and get embarrassed 4-0 by Vegas. And you can use the excuse, oh, it's after the All-Star break. The first one after the break's tough. Vegas is coming off the exact same break. So let's axe that one. And then, oh, Vegas, well, they hosted the All-Star game. They don't have to travel around it. They took a private plane. It probably took them 2.5 hours to get from Vegas to Edmonton. No, there's zero excuse around the All-Star break that I will fully believe, and especially when Vegas is down two of their top six defensemen and arguably the best player on their whole damn team in Jack Eichel. The Oilers just don't have it to compete in the Pacific Division with the real heavyweights. Are they up there? Sure, they're probably a number two, maybe a number three. They sure ain't number one. Vegas kind of taught that one. Hey, they're going to have to play Chicago tonight. So you see Marc-Andre Fleury the goalie Oilers fans wish they had. And if you're coming at it with the argument of, well, Fleury has a 908, so does Stuart Skinner, give your head a shake. Look at the teams that Stuart Skinner's playing against. Look at the way that Chicago started, how terrible they were in front of Flower. And then we're going to be, you know, oh, sample size, just look at the save percentage number. That's Oilers Twitter for you in a nutshell. Alrighty, Olympic hockey did start though as well. And we've got quarterfinal matchups in the women's game for Canada. They pull off a big win over the Americans. It's not like it was overly surprising, but again, the Americans did dominate for a little bit. Canada still lacks speed, but what you lack for in speed, you make up for in finish, clutchness. MPP was absolutely, you know, unreal in that game. She was the true leader. She was the captain for Canada. Plus, you get a little bit of an injection from Jamie Lee Rattray, who Hockey Canada tried to bury. Sarah Fillier, who's new to the scene. And again, Anne-Renee Debienne, who had pretty much quit hockey. She said, hey, there's no future for me here. Well, now she's on the biggest stage, and Hockey Canada's got them all together, and they're winning hockey games. It's not 2018 anymore. It's not some of those world championship droughts anymore. They're putting some new blood in there. Still think a little bit more. I still think that Canada left, you know, Adam's the one who brings it up a little bit about the Wisconsin girls that aren't there. I think that there's multiple pieces that Canada could have on this team to make them better. Time will tell. Still got to win gold. Still got to play the Americans again. But it's interesting. Now in the quarterfinals here, they're going to play Sweden. The Americans have the Czechs. Finland's got Japan, and Switzerland has Russia. Now, my guy Tyler Cool thinks that Japan's got a chance against Finland. I'm going to shut that one down right now. No chance. Russia and Switzerland, interesting game, but with all the COVID cases, do we get started on this? Should we talk about COVID on the show? Guys, I was making jokes. I was cracking jokes. What a joke. You've got Canada and Finland playing in mass while Russia's faking COVID tests out here. Just no accountability whatsoever. They got 8-9 positive tests. Now you got figure skaters, I think, that are testing positive for them. It's an absolute mess right now that the Russian doctors and the IOC are running. But at end of the day, they're still going to play a quarterfinal against Switzerland. They're supposed to. I'll take Switzerland. I'll take Finland. I'll take the Americans and Canada, obviously, in that one. And then, you know, it sets up the easier semifinal. I'm not going to say that the Americans don't have an easy semifinal. I mean, they're playing Finland without the best goalie in the game, arguably, right now. So it's two easy semifinals. They're going to meet for gold. The bronze medal game is going to be good, though, too. I mean, Finland, Switzerland, I think it'll be a good game no matter what. And in the men's side, well, kind of an interesting one. Switzerland, they hang on with Russia overnight. They lose 1-0. You know, but it shows that they were kind of in it. Is it a sluggish start for the Russians, who are the heavy favorites, heavy, heavy favorites coming into this tournament? Former Oiler Anton Slepyshev, he had the game-winning goal. Kind of a gross goal, too, out of the corner. But he also headbutted a guy. That's going to be, up in arms a little bit as well. And then the game this morning, a little bit of back-and-forth action. The Czechs tried to close the gap, but end of the day, Franz Nielsen scored on a penalty shot. That seals the deal. Denmark, first Olympics ever for Denmark. That's kind of weird, no? The first Olympics ever for Denmark? Like, I never would have guessed that. If you would have told me that was a fact, I would have called you a liar on the spot. It's their first ever Olympics. Well, they pick up a win 2-1 over the Czechs. Hrubitz? Takes the loss in goal smash, and Dom gets the winning goal for the Danes. Canada in action, I think, tomorrow morning? Couple of days here? I don't have the schedule in front of me, and I'm not going to look it up and waste your time. But let us know a couple other NHL news hits we will get to before we throw it off to commercial here. Seattle's claimed Chalowski off waivers. Team USA, they're going to take on China tomorrow. So for Canada, I believe they get started tomorrow as well. Is it the 10th? I don't remember. I've got it in my schedule somewhere. We'll find it another time. Interesting to hear some of the, you know, the quotes coming out of Columbus that pretty much they're saying, hey, anyone's on the market. You want to trade for Laine? Let's talk. You want to trade for Roslovic, Korpisalo, Domi? I don't know what their trade value is right now, though. Like, Laine's a good player. Everyone knows that. But is he worth the, you know, the dollars he's getting? I don't know. And Max Domi, what does he really add to your lineup right now? Korpisalo, good goaltender. Is he a number one on most teams? Maybe the Oilers. That doesn't say too much, though. Post-practice today, this is per Elliot Friedman. Austin Matthews says he feels good, expected to play tomorrow. Cassidy noted that Bergeron's upper body injury is involving his head. A little bit scary there. Anytime you start dealing with concussions, those symptoms, probably not good. He's not going to be playing tomorrow. I think that's for the better. And you know, we'll close it out with a little bit of Tuukka Rask talk here. And again, join the conversation anytime at 12 Ounce Sports. I want to know, do you think Tuukka Rask is a Hall of Famer? Simple as that. Is Tuukka Rask a Hall of Fame goaltender? I don't think so. I don't know, he's got a Vezina. He lifted a cup. It's not that, oh, he couldn't close it out in the big moments. That's not where I'm hitting the, you know, hitting the panic or stop button here. I don't know. I just feel like the Hall of Fame is a little bit too easy to get in. That if we start allowing goalies like Tuukka Rask in, what's the point here? Bryce chimes in and says, nope, I fully agree. I don't think he is a Hall of Fame goaltender. Do I think he's a damn good goaltender? You bet. Do I think he's one of the best out of the last 10 years in the NHL? You bet. Doesn't mean you're a Hall of Famer. He's no Jonathan Quick. Like, this is going to sound crazy. Crazy to say. Like, Matt Murray has had more success hardware-wise than Tuukka Rask in the past 10 years. I'm sorry, that's just, I think that's a fact right there. Like, that's something that gives you some pretty big red flags when you start talking about Hall of Fame status. That's too much. I don't, like, it's not like, oh, you're going to raise his, you know, number to the rafters either. You probably have a ceremony for him. You're not retiring his number. Give him a nice tribute video. He's meant a lot to the franchise. He's taken a lot of heat from those idiots in Boston media. But, like, Hall of Fame? I don't know. I'm not buying it. You can let me know, though, of course, 12 Ounce Sports. I'm on Twitter at Janner31 underscore. The show is at World Hockey RPT. And don't forget, go to DraftKings. Use promo code THPN. Punch that in. DraftKings, the best odds. They also got NLL odds. I'm just going to put a humble brag out there. NLL odds on DraftKings, the absolute best odds. Catch the show live every Wednesday at noon. Don't worry about what the show says up in the top right corner if you're watching. I'm sorry. We'll get it changed. We will get it changed. It's Cody Jansen coming to you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios. We have to step aside. You got a question coming up here? We got Kara Mori on the show, head coach at Princeton, also coach Team Canada for a little bit. I mean, she's going to be behind the bench of the national team soon enough. I got other issues. I really think we'll dive into it later on, though, with how Hockey Canada handles some of their coaching stuff. Kara Mori coming up after the break. Don't forget AJ Galante later on the show. It's World Hockey Report. Cody Jansen is with you, and we're back after the break. The moment we've all been waiting for since September is finally here. In honor of the big game, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 56, is giving new customers 56-1 odds on either team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in New York, meaning you can bet from almost a third of the country. If the sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, play DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest for Super Bowl 56. New customers can get a free shot at $1 million in top prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use promo code THPN, and get 56-1 odds on either team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 56. 21 plus, minimum age and location requirements vary by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full list of requirements and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Void where prohibited. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the TN Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. In Connecticut, call 888-789-QUADRUPLE-7 or visit ccpg.org/chat. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY.
Take your game to the next level with Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Pro Rock is changing the way we buy top-of-the-line twigs. They're lightweight, balanced, and provide the perfect kick point, whether you're a pro hockey player or a beer league legend. Pro Rock Hockey Sticks are made for you. They're at a price point you can't beat, so check them out today at ProRock.com. Play like a Pro Rock.
Here is go back.
It's Cody Jansen with you, World Hockey Report. We are coming to you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios, joined now by Princeton Women's Ice Hockey Coach Kara Morey. Hops on the show, Kara, and we got to dive into it. What a game last night. Canada beats USA 4-2. And I know you're working in the States, and I'm not exactly sure where your allegiances lie right now, but it had to have been an exciting game. I want to know your thoughts on it.
Oh, it was awesome. It was very exciting. My allegiances are definitely with Hockey Canada.
Okay, good.
Being we have two players on the team, and I'm coaching the program. So I have to cheer for them every time, and I'm excited to do so. I thought it was a great game, back and forth. And I'm surprised it ended 4-2. It looked like it was going to be a lot even higher scoring than that.
What was your thoughts on the Americans, though? Because they came out firing. Like, they got a fast team. Mm-hmm. They're physical. They move the puck well, and they go north really quick. Like, do you think this is an improved American team from 2018, or do you think they've kind of taken a step backwards?
No, I think they're on par or better. They're so fast and so skilled, and that's what usually happens when Canada faces the United States is the speed and skill of the Americans is incredible, and then Canada has to just play a really good systems game to keep up with them. And I thought the Americans looked I was worried for Hockey Canada at the beginning because I thought the Americans looked really fast, and they were just peppering Debian with shots. So it's interesting because Canada just converted when they had to and made the most of their opportunities, whereas I thought the U.S. had a lot of opportunities and they just didn't capitalize on them.
Well, that Canadian penalty kill was phenomenal, to say the least. Now, Kara, mm-hmm. you coached three yeah. players in the Olympics here at Princeton. Kimberly Newell, who's playing for China yeah. right now, Claire Thompson, and Sarah Fillier. And that's who I got to ask about, because in talking with media members, and specifically Rod Black was the one who just went off on just saying this, like, she's phenomenal. And what a tournament she's yeah. had. I mean, it's a joke. She steps out there, and it's not just like, oh, she's competing with the best. It's like, no, she's performing better than some of the best players in the world right now. And you get a coach her on a daily basis at Princeton. So are you surprised to see her transition to the Olympic game and just dominate out there?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, I knew she could do it. I've seen her. She's a very special talent. Like I think I've said in the past, she's once in a decade type of talent. It was just whether she would have, you know, the maturity and the confidence to go out and play like she can. And she's really shown that this tournament. So she's been outstanding.
So, and watching that game yesterday too, the Americans played her rough. Like, she was getting cross-checked, hit into the boards. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was a lot physical, and I get it. She's younger and stuff like that, but you know, are you not surprised again? I hate to use that word, but just the way she handled that, because now you're not playing against college players anymore. You're not playing against 18-year-old freshmen. You're playing against the Hillary Knights of the world, the Brianna Deckers, you know, just rising up to that competition level. Is that something where, you know, you can see her continuing this for a long stretch and it's not just a flash in the pan?
Yeah, Sarah's had to play that way for the last, like, probably 4 years, even coming out of, you know, the PW in high school hockey. Sarah, because she's the best player on the ice, she always has two or three people draped on her. So, you know, at Princeton, they targeted her like that every game. And so, you know, it's about making slash guards that cover her entire arms, because she's been double teamed, triple teamed, two-handed, manhandled. She's not a big kid. So she was kind of almost prepared for that coming out of college hockey, where she was the best already so young. So she's going to have to deal with that throughout her career. And it's something we talk about a lot, is is how to protect herself while she's playing, but still play her game and know that, you know, I think early on with the national team, because maybe they didn't know her as well in the other countries, she got away with a little bit more. But now, you know, after you're scoring your first shift of Olympic career and then at 2 goals a game, you know, they're going to target her, and they do. And so she's just learned how to play that way, and she has to keep a cool head. And you know, she draws a lot of penalties because of the way people have to play against her. The only way they can beat her is to, like, knock her down or rip her down, because they, you know, her skill and her speed is just too much.
Kara, what did you think her ceiling was when you were first recruiting her to Princeton? Did you think that she would be, you know, at this level at this point in her career?
Yeah, I did. I watched her and I thought she can become the best player in the world. I think her ceiling is so high. I think that, you know, we're just seeing the beginning of her career. But you could see it at a young age that this was one of the special players. It's like, you know, I'm sure what they talked about when they watched Sidney Crosby as a young player, and, you know, even Gretzky, like, you can tell at that young age that she's a generational talent. So I did think she would be here already. I planned it. Like, we kind of had circled. We probably won't have Sarah at Princeton the 2022 Olympic year. Her ceiling's high. I expect her to be in, like, you know, 4 or 5 Olympics should she choose to keep playing.
Okay, you can't give me a generic answer for this one. You can't just say it's natural talent. But what's going to make, or what makes Sarah different from other players at her age group and in the collegiate game? What makes her different? Is it something she does off the ice, on the ice? Is it multiple things? And you can't just say natural talent here.
Okay, well, I won't say that then. She, first of all, like, hockey-wise, skill-wise, like, her speed and her stride is incredible. She floats above the ice, and she has the ability to change her speed so that she's really hard to anticipate. Like, they have trouble playing one-on-ones against her. She can slow it down, but it's her hockey IQ and her vision. She's a playmaker. She sees the game at a different level than anybody else. It actually makes it a little bit hard to coach, because sometimes when she's doing things that look, you know, like she'll be taking a loop through the neutral zone, and I'm thinking, where is she going? But she might be seeing a play. So it's hard to determine whether, you know, there's a bad habit built in or whether she's seeing the game at a different level. But what keeps her, accelerating, becoming one of the greatest players is her balance, her life balance. Like, she absolutely loves hockey, but she has a great way of detaching and enjoying her friendships and being a great student. And because she can compartmentalize, she's really good at being in the moment. And I think that's what sets her apart from all her peers.
Have you ever had to get mad at her? Have you ever had to just pull her in the hallway and yell at her? We got any funny stories we can share, Kara?
I've never had to get mad at her, because she's always like, again, I only get mad if there's like a lack of effort, like, and there's never going to be a lack of effort with Sarah. But early on, it was, again, tricky because she was coming in, and while the rest of the world apparently didn't know her name very well, we surely did in the women's hockey world. So her coming in as a first year freshman at Princeton, I didn't want, you know, to give her so much attention that her teammates might have had some resentment. So I basically kind of ignored her for the first 6 weeks. I didn't say anything good. I didn't say anything bad. I just let her try to find her place within the team. And that was kind of hard for both of us, because she needed coaching early on. And I don't know if it was the right decision or not, but that was kind of neat. I've never had to yell at her at all, because she's always, you know, doing the right thing, and she never has a lack of effort. But we've had to have talks about it's okay being the greatest player on the ice every time you touch the ice. So that's something that's hard for Sarah, is she's so humble that, you know, if we're doing even bag skating, she doesn't want to appear to be like a show off, or, you know, make her other teammates look bad. But I tried to explain to her, she has so much respect within her team, and the expectation is that she wins every race, and she should never be, you know, taking a shift off that way. So not lack of effort, but not wanting to be the center of attention is kind of the area we've had discussions in. Because, you know, I've said, you don't want to just be an Olympian. You want to be the greatest player in the world, and you have to be okay with being the greatest player in the world.
That seems like a problem that any hockey player would love to have. And I'm sure you would have loved to have that when you were at Brown as well. But Again, yeah. Doesn't always work like that for us, eh?
Yeah, totally. I would have loved that issue.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got to ask, though, with Team Canada and USA, here's my idea to change the Olympics, and tell me if I'm stupid or not. Mm-hmm. Would you like to see a 7-game series for gold? Because I want to see more. Like, every time I watch Canada and USA play, all I want is that, hey, this shouldn't happen, you know, once every 4 years at the Olympics or once a year at the World Championships. I want to see a 7-game series between these two teams for gold, and that's my pitch to the IOC.
Well, you do have a 7-game series. They've had the rivalry.
Well, no, but for gold, for gold. I want, like, the rivalry series was intense, but I want to see it, like, to the next level.
It's a little long for me at 7. Oh. I would like a 3-game series.
Okay.
I like 3 games. I think that at 7, there's a couple games in between where it gets a little flat, but I think a 3-game series would be awesome. It's kind of what we do for the start of our playoffs in college hockey in the ECAC, and that 3-game series is sometimes more intense than, you know, the NCAA quarterfinals. So I think a 3-game series for gold would be amazing. I don't know if we can change the whole Olympic structure, but 3 games would be pretty impressive.
Wait. Did you say that you think that those, you know, some of those middle games would be a little flat between Canada, USA? I'm sure the ladies would hate to hear that.
No, they go in every time, but even in the rivalry series, you know, when they know there's 7,
yeah,
there's certain games that kind of mean a little bit more to them.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, Kara, we got to finish off on a high note here, and I got to ask. So you and Sean, your husband, were on mm-hmm. HGTV at one point in time. I screenshot it. I forgot to pull it up. It's some sort of design show, was it not? Like, you got to give me the Divine Design was the show.
Yeah.
November 2007. You got to walk me through the story. I mean, you're a TV star.
That was actually incredible. And it's funny because people are like, how did you get on the show? And I literally just applied like every other person. I didn't like our basement. I was, you know, just a stay-at-home mom at the time. And I was like, oh, I want Candace Olsen to come do my basement. And so I applied and they picked us. And it was such a fun experience. And our basement was so nice. And that was in Toronto in the beaches. It was incredible. We had 2 little daughters at the time, and they came and they made almost like it looked like the Four Seasons hotel bar when they were done with our basement. It was an awesome experience.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. It's always fun to have TV celebrities on the show. Kara, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest. Actually, how's the team looking this year? I know you're missing Sarah. That obviously hurts. But the last couple of years, you guys have been ranked 2nd. It's just unfortunate the tournament got canceled there the 1 year. And then the other year, I think it was you guys got upset in one of the early rounds. But how's the squad looking this year?
Well, we're missing 4 key forwards this year that are like all national level. So it's a little bit down. COVID kind of wreaked some havoc on it, but, obviously spirits stay high and we fight every single game. And, right now we're kind of rooting for Sarah and Claire and Kim Newell as we go through the last part of this week.
Hey, it's time for others to get to develop too and take a little bit of a bigger role. Yeah. So, you know, opportunities for some lead to opportunities for others. So, Kara, this has been
absolutely
awesome. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the Olympics, and we'll chat soon.
Thank you.
The moment we've all been waiting for since September is finally here. In honor of the big game, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 56, is giving new customers 56-1 odds on either team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in New York, meaning you can bet from almost a third of the country. If the sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, play DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest for Super Bowl 56. New customers can get a free shot at $1 million in top prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use promo code THPN, and get 56-1 odds on either team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 56. 21 plus, minimum age and location requirements vary by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full list of requirements and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Void where prohibited. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the TN Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. In Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. In New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY.
Take your game to the next level with Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Pro Rock is changing the way we buy top-of-the-line twigs. They're lightweight, balanced, and provide the perfect kick point, whether you're a pro hockey player or a beer league legend. Pro Rock Hockey Sticks are made for you. They're at a price point you can't beat, so check them out today at ProRock.com. Play like a Pro Rock.
Go back. Thrilled Hockey Report, Cody Jansen coming to you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios today. Huge thanks to Kara Mori for hopping on, talking some Team Canada Olympics. Of course, you guys already know Sarah Fellier. I think she's one of the best forwards on Canada. You can let us know, though. Join the conversation anytime at 12 Ounce Sports, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, wherever you are watching from. Up now, our good friend AJ Galante is going to hop on the show here. AJ, what's going on, man? How you been?
I'm doing well, fellas. How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Doing good. How was Vegas? I got to ask. I seen pictures of you playing ball hockey, buzzing around out there. So how was that? What's the stat line looking like?
Well, I'll tell you what. It was the first time I played any sort of hockey in 18 years. You know, like I said, you know, it was a two-day tournament. So day one, we went 2-0. And day two, we had an early game, and some of our guys weren't in the best shape, if you know what I mean. So I had to make a return after 18 years of playing to get in there for a few shifts. And I'll tell you what, I'm really out of shape, but I did end up getting one goal, which was amazing to me. But, hey man, we had a great time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Not a bad, I mean, it's fun, right? It's ball hockey where, you know, maybe it's a little safer. You could say you don't get guys buzzing around on ice trying to take your head off, but that's all good, man. I wanted to have you on and talk about what you're up to now, because Ice Wars, this is crazy, because I remember mid-2000s, and I'm sure you know, I mean, everyone's talked to you about it, but they were doing this in Prince George, British Columbia. I can't imagine you know where that is on a map, but it's a small little town. They're doing that, the hockey enforcers battle in front of thousands, and it was just a brawl. So walk me through, what is Ice Wars? What are you bringing to the table now, man?
Well, I tell you what, you know, it's funny because you know, back in the mid 2000s, like you said, you know, right. I'd say during the second year, you know, we only had 2 years of the Trashers. And I remember, you know, midway through our second season, hearing about this tournament, you know, a bunch of our players were thinking about entering, or, you know, they were, you know, during the off season there up in Prince George. And, you know, I remember it very well, actually. You know, those were the days before social media. And I heard it was I've seen it on YouTube, obviously. It was unreal. And, actually, that same promotional group approached, you know, my father and I about getting involved, you know, geez, 16 years later. And, you know, it's weird how things come full circle in life. I've been involved in professional boxing here in Danbury, New York area, you know, the past 11 years. So basically, we're looking to start a new sport. You know, it's essentially, you know, I never liked the word battle of the hockey enforcers. You know, listen, let's not be crazy here. It's hockey players. It's on skates. It's in a hockey, you know, environment. But this is prize fighting on ice. So, you know, it's definitely going to have a cool feel to it. And, yeah, man, we're really looking forward to bringing something different, and really looking forward to it.
So I don't know how much information you can put out there right now, but, like, what are we looking at? Is it going to be boxing format like what you've done before with your promotions, where, you know, we are looking at longer rounds, or is it going to be, you know, quick, you know, 3 1-minute rounds like they do with the rough and rowdy? You know, have you thought much about format, what you think is going to work best?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So for now, you know, it's going to be tournament style. And basically, it's going to, each bout will be 2 1-minute rounds. And frankly, the reason why I love it, you know, as 2 1-minute rounds is, you know, you don't have time to play. Like in boxing, you know, boxing could get boring a little bit. 3-minute rounds, guys take a break here or there. With 2 1-minute rounds, you know, these guys got to go at it. And, you know, most hockey fights, you know, they're not even a minute long. So these guys are going to have a lot of energy to expend in a minute. And, you know what, if it goes to any sort of draw after 2 rounds, you know, it goes into an immediate 30-second icebreaker round. And it's going to, you know, it's going to be amazing, man. You know, it's going to be, it's going to have a, you know, a scoring system like boxing. But, you know, it's going to be really exciting. And like I said, we're kind of putting the finishing touches to our first event we're looking to do in the April, May area. We're putting those finishing touches on and hopefully looking forward to making a big announcement in the coming week or two with our first event.
Yes, sir. That's awesome. That sounds cool. Like, I know you've obviously, like, you've got some venues in mind, but are you thinking this is going to, you know, kind of appeal to a little bit more of a showtimey crowd where you could put on a crazy event in a Vegas-like setting? You know, I think of, like, Florida as states that might be able to get around it where you can make it more of a party atmosphere. Or are you thinking of targeting a little bit more of a hockey central where they kind of understand the hockey fighting realm?
Well, I think it's going to be a mix of everything. You know what I mean? And frankly, you know, with my background with boxing and, you know, obviously all we've done with the Trashers and, you know, I know what makes the hockey fan tick. But again, I think we're going to hit all sorts of demographics. And to be honest with you, you know, we're looking to start slow. We're looking to start small. And, you know, the way you build a cult-like following is to start small and feed your base, you know, make it affordable for people. Have a good time. Look, in a perfect world, we'd love to eventually advance into much bigger arenas, you know, all over the world. I mean, you know, we're looking to go all over, whether it's in the States, whether it's in Canada, Europe, wherever.
You bring it to
Russia,
you put 20,000 asses in seats tomorrow.
Well, I tell you what, that's definitely something we've spoken about with the whole ownership group here. And, you know, like I said, this off season, this hockey off season, spring, summer, definitely looking to do, you know, possibly 2 events. And then by next year, 2023, God willing, we're looking to at least do 4 events an off season. You know what I mean? So it's definitely something we're looking to start slow, make sure, you know, we're working on things, always fixing things that aren't working. And most important thing to me is it's entertaining for the audience. And we want to have a lot of fan interaction, things of that nature, and, you know, make everyone feel a part of this.
Jesse's in the conversation now, says AJ's an absolute genius. And Bryce says this is going to be awesome. So, hey, people are on board, man. It's something where I think that the times have changed. And as you mentioned, that it was around 2006. I looked that up here where they were doing the Battle of the Hockey Enforcers in BC. So that was right around Trasher era. But you couldn't market it as well. Like, as you said, YouTube was smaller. Like, dude, we had it on VHS. I don't know how my parents allowed me to get that. But it was like you couldn't market it like you can now with all the social media, all the access to video and all that stuff that you got nowadays.
No, I agree with you. And, we part of joining this ownership group with, you know, the old Battle of the Hockey Enforcers, you know, we saw their financials for the first show. They did really well. And like you said, that was before the days of social media and, you know, YouTube and everything else. And
they're advertising really via carrier pigeon.
What's that?
They're advertising via carrier pigeon.
Yeah, you got that right. I mean, it was different times, man. But, you know, I think we're living in a world today where people are looking for something different. I think from a hockey fan standpoint, you got a lot of older fans that kind of miss the physicality, that part of hockey that's kind of slowly diminishing. And then you got newer fans, you know, that watch the Trasher documentary that say, hey, I wish hockey was like that again, you know. So as far as the hockey fan goes, I think we're going to be able to be, you know, they have an appetite for what we're looking to bring. But also, you know, like I said, I keep saying my experience in professional boxing, I know there's a whole nother demographic that aren't necessarily hockey fans that, you know, when they heard about this, they're beyond excited. I got boxers looking to learn how to skate. They want to get involved with this. So, you know, it's definitely something that we're hoping in time really, really grows.
That was going to be my next question. We got some breaking news here. It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report, coming to you live on 12 Ounce Sports. The Montreal Canadiens have fired head coach Dominic Ducharme. Lyle Richardson did in the media today. They lost 7-1 to New Jersey yesterday. Things are bad in Montreal, so Ducharme out the door. AJ Galante, my guest right now on World Hockey Report. AJ, you mentioned boxers wanting to get involved, and that was kind of going to be my next question, is who are you targeting for fighters? Who are you targeting, or who've reached out to you? Is it a lot of current players? Is it former players saying, hey, this is badass, get me back involved? Like, if you're running it, I'm signing up. Like, who's that demographic of players that you're hitting right now?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I really, we have all these plans, all these ideas sound great, but ultimately we have nothing without, you know, the fighters, the participants, you know what I mean? And these ice warriors, really. And I was a little shocked how quickly, we just basically put out a couple subtle little, you know, posts or press releases out there. And we have about 30, 40 guys on standby looking to get involved. And it's amazing to me. A lot of them are current players, minor league, senior league guys. We even got some older guys that are looking to come back. We'd have to look into that. But, like you said, we have lacrosse players. We've had, street hockey guys. It's amazing to me. But ultimately, I do think there'll be a place in our sport for a division of combat sports, you know, whether it's a boxer or a UFC guy or an MMA guy that are looking to try this out. You know, if they could show us they can skate a little bit, you know, there might be a place for them. So it's amazing to me how quickly it's kind of picked up. And really, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know what, this is a sport. It's a very real thing. It's a combat sport. So obviously there's dangers to it, but we're looking to be entertaining. And I told these, we had a Zoom meeting last weekend with some prospective, ice warriors, these fighters. And I told them, I'm like, guys, show us your personality. We, you know, fans want some personality, hockey guys, I know, are humble by nature, but I told these guys, you got to get out there and bring out your inner professional wrestler in you and have a good time and entertain the fans.
Wait, did I hear you mention lacrosse? Are you a lacrosse guy?
I am not a lacrosse guy, but I'll tell you what, it's gotten really big, even in my area here. And I've had lacrosse guys reach out to me that, hey, I used to play hockey in college, or I used to play here or there. And they're like chomping at the bit as well. I mean, it's amazing how many people have come to us already in just such a short time to get involved with it.
Wow. I got to assume they're NLL players that are reaching out. That's obviously the tougher lacrosse. And it is growing up in your area and your neck of the woods for sure. So that's funny. I'd love to see some of the names. I can't wait for it. Hey, AJ, I got to ask though, and what's the end goal here? Is it to, have pay-per-views? Is it to get in touch with Dana White and say, hey, how can we work together and make this even bigger? Like, where do you see this going and taking off? You've obviously been in the promotions business for long enough. But I kind of want to know what the end goal is here.
You know what? I'll be totally honest with you. When my father and I started the Trashers, we had no end goal. We just took it day by day. And I think this is one of those situations where our main goal here is to provide fans with something new, entertaining, different. We'd like to do our own thing. I mean, I think it'll happen sooner than later. I think we're going to be able to independently develop our own thing. To us, it's all about, the entertainment factor. We want guys to have fun. Again, this is a combat sport, but it's also prize fighting on ice. These guys will be fighting for purses. It's not, they're not fighting for the hell of it. There are purses. And listen, who wouldn't want to win? Our tagline is, who will be crowned king of the rink? Who wouldn't want to win this tournament? And you leave with a nice little money purse and you end up with a crown. What's better than that?
Man, I can't wait for it. I'm pumped already. I'm shaking here talking to you about it, AJ. Do you watch much NHL nowadays? Like, are you watching any games and stuff? Like, did you see Brad Marchand's antics last night?
You know, I didn't. I got to be honest with you. When we lost the Trashers in 06, I stopped watching hockey for a while. The past few years, I've slowly gotten back into it. I've always been a New Jersey Devil fan by nature. But I did hear Marchand had an incident yesterday. I didn't get to see it, but knowing him, it was something interesting. So I'm going to have to go on YouTube and check it out.
Well, and again, it's a funny thing. I mean, it's really not that crazy, like in the hockey world and the grand scheme of things, but like everyone blows up because of social media. But I want to know kind of, is that kind of part of the reason that this is appealing to you and other fans, do you think, because of the way that toughness has gone down, to be blunt, in the NHL, where physical play and fighting isn't promoted or encouraged as much before, and that's lost its lust for a lot of fans?
Well, listen, you know what? One thing my father always taught me is you got to learn to adjust with the times, whether you like it or not. Obviously, when I started watching hockey in the early 90s as a kid, you know, to me, you know, Scott Stevens was a god to me growing up, all his hits and, you know, the fighting. That's what drew me to the sport of hockey. It was so different from everything else. You know, it's different now, you know, and I tell people different isn't necessarily better or worse. It's just different. You know, what I don't like is the fact is they almost act like these old tough guys, these enforcers don't exist or they didn't exist. And frankly, you know, real hockey fans know, I mean, enforcers back in the old days were the heart and soul of the team and some of the best locker room guys around. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, that's part of our Ice Wars, you know, our events is to honor, you know, each show we're looking to honor a lot of these old time enforcers that, you know, don't get the ceremonialist, you know, goodbyes like some of the goal scorers do, et cetera. But hockey's definitely a little different. But I think all sports are different. I mean, American football, I'm a huge football fan. I mean, you could barely touch the quarterback. I mean, it's sports is usually a reflection of our society. And I know in the States, you know, things have gotten a lot softer over the years. So we'll see what happens. But you know what? It's opened up a door for guys like us to try to do something different and try to, you know, whet the appetite of the old school fans.
Okay, AJ, I got one more for you, and this has been a blast. I need two names here. What's your dream fight? Any generation, any age, put them in their prime, put them in a ring together. Who are the two tough guys you're putting in you know, for your prize fight here?
Oh, boy. Well, one of them is no longer with us, unfortunately, and I know it's happened before. I don't know. This might be round 25, but I would like to say, you know, figure Las Vegas under the big lights, Bob Probert and Ty Domi. Could you imagine that one all over again?
Man, that's a million-dollar fight right there, AJ. That's 20,000 butts in seats, and that could just be, I mean, that's a main event. That's our Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz for hockey fans.
Well, you gotta look at it this way. Mike Tyson, people used to pay $500 a ticket to see him knock someone out in 20 seconds. So to me, there is something there. If we do our job as promoters to build up these matchups and fights, I believe it's going to be big.
Man, it's going to be awesome. Hey, Ice Wars, everyone go check it out. Follow him on Twitter as well. AJ, man, thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciate it. Best of luck. And definitely, we'll be promoting it when it comes out, man. Appreciate you.
Always, guys. You keep me posted. Anything you need. Got you, guys.
AJ Galante right there joining us on World Hockey Report. It's Cody Jansen. Let's wrap things up on 12 Ounce Sports. You got a conversation, a question you want to get at us with now, join it right now. 12 Ounce Sports, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Montreal Canadiens firing their head coach. It always happens when you're on air. The news is going to break. Dominic Ducharme is out. Frank Saravalli's confirming it. Lyle Richardson did do the media. And it's just been bad. They've got 8 wins this year. They got smacked 7-1 by New Jersey. And no offense, I know AJ Galante is a New Jersey Devils fan, but that team ain't good this year. So, I mean, it's 7 months after Ducharme signed a 3-year contract. I get it. New GM. New president. Do they have someone better in mind? Is Paul Maurice going to be there? I mean, do they need someone French? Is Patrick Waugh getting another chance? Here's a quote via Kent Hughes. This is Dave Pignota put this one out from the fourth period. At this point in the season, we felt it was the best interest in the club to make a change. So interesting. Interesting how they put it out there. And just an interesting time in general, because what do? Do you sell off before the deadline? You got to build for the future at this point. No offense, Carey Price ain't coming back here. There's not that much to build off. I know you're a year removed from going on a cup run. cup run, quotation marks. We'll put it like that. They got a pretty damn good team. But again, I don't see them as a legit contender for the next 3, 4, 5 years. They got pieces, but you got to build around those on a consistent basis. Alrighty, that is going to do it for me. Be sure, Olympic Hockey Canada, they're going to be taking on Sweden in the quarterfinals. You don't want to miss that one. And that's the women's team and the men. The men are going to open up their tournament here very soon. I think that is, it's going to be tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, Canada versus Germany. Would have been fun to see like Stutzel, Paterka, Sider. Yeah, one could dream. Many chillers at the Olympics. It'll happen one day again. Huge thanks, though, to Kara Mori as well, head coach Princeton Ice Hockey, the women's team. And we will talk to you next Wednesday, I guess. Same time, same place, 12 Ounce Sports. If you miss any of it, go download the podcast today at the Hockey Podcast Network. Dan Absolute Best, Aisha, and Dylan there. And use DraftKings promo code THPN. Sign up today, and we'll talk to you next week. Everyone, be kind, be better.